You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Lobby Reform NZ recently put forward a petition to the government asking for three changes that would improve transparency around lobbying. These changes have been compared to some introduced in New Zealand's international counterparts, which allow members of the public to assess with greater accuracy how different politicians are being influenced. In New Zealand, the legislation around lobbying is relatively lax, leaving the public almost entirely in the dark. To discuss the petition and the scale of lobbying in Aotearoa, I spoke to Ben Wright from Lobby Reform NZ. I wanted to start off by talking about, I guess, the background context behind your petition. What is the scale of lobbying in Aotearoa at the moment? Do we even know, I guess, how much lobbying is going on?
No, exactly. That's the problem. And one of the things that MPs will bring up is defining what lobbying is, and that's where you can't really quantify what lobbying is, because is lobbying a local mom-and-pop operation who are talking to their local MP in order to get something changed on their street to help with their business? But what we want to focus on is the big lobbying firms, which are employed by major sectors, whether that be in the oil industry or tobacco or, you know, a variety of different industries that could be quite healthy for the government to think about the kind of things that they want to put forward. So we just have no idea of what the scale of it actually is, and we're not going to know until we start putting these definitions in place.
And what are the kinds of organisations that are doing big lobbying? What are the views that are getting, I guess, going directly to our politicians and influencing policy?
I mean, it's a really tricky thing to cover, because sometimes you want your MPs to be talking to a wide range of different sectors because they just don't understand how the electricity sector works and they need to be informed. But, you're going to have lobbying from all sorts of corporations, whether it be, as I said, oil, tobacco, or one of the ones that we want to look at and see how much influence they're having on the government decisions, especially since the current government has decided to backtrack on some of the stuff that Labour put in. It is going to be from everybody in every area. And the idea is we're not looking to restrict people's access to MPs to talk about them. We just want some transparency around who is talking to whom, and then that might help us understand where the influence on certain decisions in government are coming from.
And if you could, you mentioned a little bit of it there, but could you go into what are the three big proposals that you're putting together in this petition that you've taken to government?
Yeah, absolutely. So we wanted to focus on making a mandatory lobbying register. So that will essentially make a publicly searchable database of all lobbyists and lobbying groups. So what we mean by that is there are companies that their sole purpose is to lobby on behalf of people who have the money to employ them. But we also want to take into account the lobbying portion of a major multinational corporation or just a sector that has a lobbying division that they all sort of fund. The other thing that we would like is a meeting disclosure. So we just want the meetings that are being had between who and what the topic is about to be available to people. And then one of the other things that we're looking for is a 1 to 3 year stand down period for politicians who are leaving the political world. It's very easy pipeline to go from politician to lobbyist. And essentially that means that they can sell their political information as an employment perk, as it were, for getting them on board with a lobbying group. And then that means that they have an inside track onto what the government are doing or planning on doing. So by creating that 1 to 3 year stand down, it just means that we can prevent that from happening.
And I want to talk about some of those a bit more in depth. But first, I want to, talk about where New Zealand stands in the global situation around lobbying. How does New Zealand's lobbying legislation compare right now to our international counterparts? And how do these proposals compare to international counterparts as well?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is essentially it's a global thing which has been moving forward in many different countries, and New Zealand is way, way behind on a lot of these different areas. So the UK, for example, They have a mandatory lobbying register already, which says who the lobbyists are, who they represent, and what issues they're lobbying. We don't have any of that. We don't have any of the things that we're asking for, a meeting disclosure or a 1 to 3 year stand down. There are countries like Canada, essentially all the most of the countries in the OECD agreement, is they've got essentially just any level of lobbying transparency that New Zealand just doesn't have at the moment.
How common is it for MPs, ministers, and then people in the lobbying industry as well to swap jobs? How common is it for someone to be doing this job for an extended period of time and then just immediately go into the other one?
Oh, I mean, it's quite common. I mean, if you just think about it in terms of, you know, what would you do in a situation? There's no slight against MPs wanting to keep food on the table when they leave a political arena. And, you know, some politicians, they're essentially, you know, they might not find themselves in a job anymore just due to the voting circumstances. So they want to have a way to be able to keep being involved in the political side of things and advocate for things that they perhaps support. And becoming a lobbyist is a very easy pipeline to go for, because essentially, you know, the lobbying companies that will employ them, they want the inside information, and it's just an easy jump to from politician to lobbyist in order to keep the funds coming in for their family. So we totally understand why that that pipeline is there, but it only is there because we haven't thought about the kind of impact that that has on our government.
While a lot of the changes are targeted at increasing transparency around lobbying, they don't seem to have, I guess, any material impact on the amount of lobbying that takes place. Does that worry you? I mean, that these changes could go in place, and while we'd know that a bunch of lobbying is happening, we wouldn't have anything to do about it?
Well, we're not really looking to reduce lobbying. We just want it to be clear to people who is lobbying for what. I don't think there's no easy way of determining how much influence these big corporations has on our government at the moment, whereas in other countries, there's a lot of things that have been put in place to make that happen. So we're not trying to prevent lobbying from happening. We just want it to come to the surface so that it's a bit clearer, it's a bit more honest, and people can go into voting in the election feeling a little bit more informed. Also, I feel like it brings a confidence in the government. If the government are willing to have this level of transparency, then it means that there's a lot more confidence in who they're voting for, you know, why they're going to vote for them. And essentially, we want that kind of confidence back in our government, especially with the state of global politics at the moment. We want to see that New Zealand can meet the standards that other countries are getting to in terms of transparency around lobbying.
That was Ben Wright from Lobby Reform NZ speaking to me about a petition to government aimed at reducing the amount of increasing the amount of transparency in around New Zealand lobbying. You can find more information about the petition in a link on this interview's BCast.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/BCasts.